Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We're gonna hold on. We're gonna hold on. We're gonna hold.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and why are we playing this? Well, a good wedding toast is usually personal, emotional, and funny. Sometimes the best ones lean more toward roast than toast, but they rarely have more than a cliche bit of advice for the newlyweds. But my next guest has thought a lot about how to stay married through the monotony and the tumult that every marriage encounters. She is journalist and writer Ada Calhoun, and she's here with me now to share some of her thoughts on that and talk about her new book, Wedding Toasts I'll Never Give. Hi, Ada. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much for having me.
So some of the most simple advice you've gotten on how to stay married came from your mom and grandmother, I see. Your mom once told you she stays married by not getting divorced.
That's right. Very helpful.
And your grandmother said something that basically boiled down to, be nice, don't leave. It seems flip, but is it?
No, I think that's kind of the what was the most helpful to me and what was the most profound in the end was it's not about communication or behaving perfectly or anything like that, choosing right. It really has to do with commitment.
And listeners, we've all heard the wedding toast filled with cliche advice, like don't go to bed angry, which is maybe not even great advice, some people say. So give us a call if you want to share the best non-cliche advice you ever got for your marriage, the stuff you don't hear in your run-of-the-mill wedding toast, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So an example from the book, the concept of a soulmate is popular, but you tell us about a wedding toast you once heard your cousin make on why it's a silly construct.
Yes, he did a very elaborate mathematical equation about how many people are alive at any given time and basically proved scientifically that it's impossible to meet your soulmate, you know, in the flesh in this lifetime. And, you know, one person I quote on soulmates is J.R.R. Tolkien, who said that he thought the soulmate myth was really misleading and damaging because people started to look at other people as guiding stars rather than as companions in shipwreck.
As hobbits. You write about how sometimes when couples get divorced, they'll tell you that the person they're divorcing is not the person they married and their spouse has changed. But in a long marriage, this is inevitable. People change. So can it help keep a marriage intact if a couple is just prepared for that fact?
I think so. I mean, one thing I've heard from a lot of people, friends of mine divorcing is, you know, he's not the man I married. And I think it's an illusion to think that the person is going to stay the same for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. My husband and I have been through all kinds of different iterations. You know, I was like had short black hair when I met him. Now I've got long blonde hair. I had, you know, this job and now I have that job. And, you know, I think spread out over the years, we're each like a harem for the other person.
Ada Calhoun is here with her book, Wedding Toasts I'll Never Give. And you can call in with the best wedding toast advice that you've ever heard or a wedding toast that you'll never give at 212-433-WNYC if you want to get playful with it, 212-433-9692. Are there specific examples of wedding toasts you'll never give?
Well, the way that the book is structured, each of the seven chapters is basically a toast I would never give. So it's an expanded version of some idea like marriage is actually quite boring sometimes, you know, or you might still want other people. So each one is framed as a toast I won't give.
Infidelity can break a marriage, obviously.
Yeah.
But after reading your writing on it, both in your marriage and in others, it seems like it can also make a marriage stronger in the end. Can you talk a little bit about how that happens? That's a controversial thought.
Yeah. No, well, one thing that I think I did, you know, dozens of interviews with people who've been together a long time, and there was always sort of some blurring of that line of monogamy, like maybe they had get crushes or maybe, you know, they had really strong friendships outside the marriage. And so for me, looking at it as like either it's an open or shut door, I think, you know, you hear a lot about like open marriage being this very extreme lifestyle. And I think that there's this huge gray area in between, you know, Mike Pence never having dinner with anyone who's not his wife and, you know, the cover of the Times Magazine last weekend.
That came out just recently for people who don't know it, that Mike Pence, from his, I guess, particular Christian belief, I guess, that's a practice in his form of Christianity, won't even have a one-on-one business meeting with a woman alone. And, of course, there's feminist pushback against that as, well, you have to find some other way to make sure you're faithful to your wife. Don't disadvantage women who might want to have a one-on-one meeting with you in a professional context.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one thing that I say is maybe instead of saying, you know, open or shut, it should be more like a monogamy spectrum. So maybe Mike Pence is a zero and then the polyamorous are fives, but a lot of us are, you know, ones or twos, like we like to flirt or something.
And your childhood friend told you something really lovely about marriage. She said, the quote, you need to figure out how to build sway into a marriage the way you do into a foundation of a building. Mm-hmm. Just as a tall building or bridge without room to expand or contract to move in stiff winds falls down, so a marriage that's too rigid crumbles at the first tremor.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and I think that, you know, again, the Pences seem pretty happy, and then the polyamorous seem pretty happy, and then a lot of people in between also are happy. There's sort of as many ways to figure this stuff out as there are marriages, I think.
Let's take a phone call. Beth in Washington Heights. You're on WNYC. Hi, Beth.
Hi there. I am recently married, and we got a lot of really lovely little cards, and I kept my favorites, including some that had some really lovely advice in them. My favorite piece of advice from Aunt Pam and Uncle Gary was, it's not the reply, but the tone of the reply that can sometimes make the difference.
Thank you very much. Let's go to Andy in Astoria. You're on WNYC. Hi, Andy.
Hey, big fan of the show, man.
Thank you.
So I was debating on proposing to my fiance, and I had a conversation with my father. I said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. I'm afraid I'm going to mess up. And he said, listen, we're all living on the island of misfit toys, so you're going to mess up and we're not perfect. You might as well just embrace that and go for it. And we're getting married in about 10 months just because of that piece of advice.
Congratulations, Andy. Good luck to both of you. How about Celeste in Jersey City? You're on WNYC. Hi, Celeste.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
My best bit of marriage advice is one I gave to myself. My husband and I were both children of divorce, and when we finally decided to get married after living together for a very long time, people would comment on how well matched we were, and they would always say, oh, you two are going to be married forever, right? And I would always reply, I give it 2 more weeks. And I did that because it was a reminder to me that marriage was something that had to constantly be worked at and couldn't be taken for granted. And I only stopped saying it when my son was born, 17 years after we met. So, and we're now coming up on our 40th wedding anniversary.
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations. So that's a 40-year marriage. That's a series of several thousand two-week contracts, right?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you very much. That's one way to look at it,
yeah.
Ada.
Well, it's so funny because almost everyone I talk to who've been married more than, you know, 20 or 30 years said, I've had at least 3 marriages. They've just all been with the same person.
Yeah. And it sounds like all the advice that we've been hearing on the phone so far and some of the stories that you've told from the book are really about not looking for perfection, which is the opposite of what you tend to hear, mm-hmm, in wedding toasts.
That's right.
Right? Which is how you're perfect for each other. I knew you're going to live happily ever after.
That's right.
Those kinds of cliches.
That's right. And I think that that does a lot of damage to people because they think they're supposed to live up to this, you know, Instagram ideal of what it is to be married. And no one does. No one's exempt from suffering.
Beth and Ossining, you're on WNYC. Hi, Beth.
Hi. I have a needlepoint that my mother gave us as a wedding present, and that her aunt Marty, my great aunt, said, which is, remember the we in wedding.
Nice start. Thank you very much. You've got a story in the book, Ada, about your husband and son missing a flight because they overslept. And you can't help but be so angry at the many hundreds of dollars it was going to cost to rebook the flight and how insanely frustrating it is that his money mistakes are also your money mistakes, mm-hmm. or you have to be a victim of them. Is there a lesson you took from that episode?
You know, one thing that I've tried to do, money's been a perennial source of stress in our marriage, and one thing I've tried to do is something called marriage math, where I try to run numbers in a different way in order to make it come out in his favor, just to be a little bit more generous. So, you know, I was like, oh, he quit smoking 20 years ago, he learned how to cook so we didn't have to get takeout. Like, he's actually up like $60,000 over the course of 10 years.
Wow. And your mom once said that, quote, marriage is one game where the second you start keeping score, you've lost. Such good advice, but pretty hard to follow.
It's hard to follow, of course. It's, you know, one thing that I think I learned in the course of doing this book is, you know, marriage isn't better than life. And I think a lot of our problems come from thinking that, you know, we're going to be better people and that marriage itself is going to make us better. And that really it's just like life. Like sometimes it's wonderful and glorious and sometimes it's awful and incredibly irritating.
Can you talk for a minute about the boredom that comes with marriage to one person, the knowing exactly what your partner will do, how he or she will do it, what would be, as you put it in the book, the plot development part of the novel?
Yeah. So, you know, one thing that has been a problem is that you know each other so well and it can feel like you're doing the same jigsaw puzzle like over and over and over again. And it becomes very tempting to look around and think, you know, it'd be kind of fun to meet this new person and have all these adventures. But one thing that I've noticed, you know, just in the course of 16 years with the same person is I look back on some of those times that seem so boring, and in retrospect, they're quite lovely. And I think about my son, who's now 10, and when he was little, there were just these days where it was like all Dora the Explorer and like opening and shutting drawers. And then I look back now, and you know, I'd give like everything I own to have one more hour with that kid.
My guest is Ada Calhoun, the author of Wedding Toasts I'll Never Give, and Bill in Mount Bethel, Pennsylvania. You're on WNYC. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I wanted to share, I went to a wedding many years ago, and the maid of honor, had a speech and her toast, whatever, and she said near the end of the speech I hope that this wedding lasts long enough for you both to pay for it, and the room collectively wanted to hide under the table in embarrassment.
Well, thanks, Bill. And of course, weddings can be ridiculously expensive.
Yes.
But there's actually a reason, I think, mm-hmm. for elaborate weddings. There's a reason for weddings at all, in a way, where people are invited. Because since so many folks have their doubts and people are fallible and I don't know what percentage of people go into their weddings and their marriages thinking that they are rock solid, 100% certain that they're making the right decision. But all that ritual around it, I think, helps to solidify the marriage. Even if it's because, oh, well, I can't wriggle out of this. We've invited 150 people and we've put $30,000 down. There's actually a content reason for that.
I think so. No, I think it's important to do it publicly in this way that tells everyone you have this intention to live in this new, different way where you're a partnership, you're a couple. And I also think that weddings, when they're really beautiful, they kind of remind you of the greatest parts of being together. That they remind you of these like moments of grace that you'll get your whole marriage, ideally, that will remind you why you're together.
Lizzie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lizzie.
Hi, Brian. Hi. Best advice was from my wife's friend, Stephanie, and she said, every person has 3 to 5 things seriously wrong with them.
That's good.
That is good.
As a starting point.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Lizzie. So you end the book with the wedding toast you would actually give, and it has two important bits of advice. Do you want to give us the short version to close out?
Sure. Well, the short version is that my mom is right, that the way you stay married is you don't get divorced. And then the next is really that you need to be aware that moments of grace are what are going to keep you together. We're going to keep us all together, and that you need to be on the lookout for them.
Journalist and writer Ada Calhoun, her new book is Wedding Toasts I'll Never Give. Thank you very much for joining us. Happy wedding season.
Happy wedding season.